Hello guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akintayo. And on this episode, this season I have all special guests. Okay. So this person, I told him his title should have been Baba One Boys. And basically he's the father of boys because he has...
What about girls?
That's true. You've raised girls too. You know, but there's so much that he's raised a lot of young, godly youths that are doing well, both boys and girls. And he's done that for decades. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Joe Ogbe, one and only, ever youthful.
Yes, yeah. Because if you are not youthful, you will miss them.
Ah.
I give you a typical example. I went to Ife.
Yes.
Our chapter in Ife organized a major event.
Okay.
They gathered about 3,000 plus.
YDI.
Mm. So while I was in the hotel room, I dressed like a typical pastor.
Mm-hmm.
With tie, everything too. So my daughter, she's based in Canada now. Maiwa, she was the national president of YDI and also the chapter president in Ife.
Okay.
She came with her team and said, "Ah, Pastor, you can't dress like this." I said, "How do you want me to dress?" He said, "Dress like us." Thank God I had my jeans, I had my sneakers, and then my t-shirt.
Yes.
He said, "Yes, that's it.
That's it."
And you can't believe it. As soon as I mounted the podium.
Wow.
Everybody, all the students, when they introduce me.
Yeah.
So you have to be like the youths
to
be able to reach out to them.
Wow.
Mm. It's wonderful. It's a privilege to reach out to young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege.
So who is Joe Obi? A lot of people know you, but what's your background? Where were you born?
Yes. I'm a Benue son to the core. I'm from Idoma tribe.
Okay.
You know, we have two major tribes in Benue State. We have the Thieves
and
the Idomas. The Thieves have two senatorial districts.
Okay.
And we have one senatorial district. Our own is South Zone C, they call it. Mm. So I have been raised by my parents. You know, average parents, so to say, not very poor, not very rich.
Mm.
At least they were able to provide for us to be able to go to school and all that. Left university, I started working with Federal Ministry of Industries, Standards Organization of Nigeria. And out of my own free will, I decided to retire to go into full-time business. I was running public relations and advertising company in Sulere, Lagos, number 2 Olaemi Street off Unobi, Sulere. I was running that till I left for ministry, having received the call of God upon my life to reach out to young people.
What year was this?
That was 1996. To be precise, 30th of January, 1996, Bishop David Oyedepo came to open the door of ministry to young people. Mm. Meanwhile, I had been a youth pastor, the first youth pastor. The first youth pastor in Winners.
Really?
Oh, yes.
In the entire Living Faith Church worldwide. What year did you become a youth pastor?
I became the youth pastor 1993, thereabout. I was ordained a pastor 1993. Yes. In Kaduna. Yes.
But what year did you join the Living Faith?
I joined the Living Faith in 1987. So I've been following Bishop David Oyedepo from 1987 till date.
Wow.
Incidentally, all his four children passed through my hands. Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, David Jr., Isaac, Love, Joyce, all of them.
Were you the Bible teacher, what was your role?
No. I was children's teacher or children's pastor, youth pastor, the children's church, all of them under me. Had so many teachers working under me.
Yes.
So when I had the call of God upon my life, I went to discuss with Bishop, say, I had this call. Meanwhile, I was doing well in my business. I built my place.
Okay.
And I built small place.
What business was that?
I was into public relations and advertising.
Ah.
Oh, yes. And God was helping me. So I wanted to do a real work with young people without resigning from my business.
Yes.
So it was when I shared with Bishop. I had written, you see, I went first of all, talked to him. Mm-hmm. That's right, Yoba. This is what I said, go and document it. If it's a vision, go and document it. You know how he talks, document it. So I went, documented the vision and brought it to him. He went through. He said, wow, this is a real vision.
Mm.
Are you willing to leave your companies? Because I had some couple of companies I was running. Yes. Because this is full-time ministry work.
Yeah.
I said, why not? He said, okay, go discuss with your wife. I went home, talked with my wife. My wife said, no, wala. As long as you're sure of what you have received.
Wow.
So the journey started from there. So on the 31st of December 1995, my wife and I were commissioned officially
by Bishop Oyedepo.
By Bishop David Oyedepo. So since then, the work has been.
Since we've segued into that, how, because sometimes there's a perception about Bishop that, you know, only people like you who have a close encounter with him can narrate. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he feel like, oh, why are you leaving us? You know, you had all these roles, you know. Because I tell people, Papa is not like that. But no. I mean, let them people hear not, from you.
Yeah, people will not understand. I always, when people criticize him and I get to talk to them, I say, you don't know my father much more than
yes,
I do.
Yes.
I can't be following somebody. I'm not stupid. Looking at me, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not foolish.
Very true.
I'm not into hero worshipping
or
personality cult, as people call it.
Yes.
I'm not into that, you know. I've been following this man 1987 till date without turning back. I don't have two spiritual fathers.
Mm.
Only Bishop Oyedepo is my father.
True.
Only him. Yeah, I have other mentors, like I said, of Paul Adefarasi and others, but none of them can command that fatherhood from me, you know. So, you know, people have different things to say about people. One thing I know is that Papa is not perfect.
Yes.
Because no perfect human being anywhere. Yeah.
In the world.
In the world.
Very
I am not perfect.
Yes.
So I'm not expecting him to be perfect.
True.
We all work
in progress.
In progress.
Yes.
Building under construction.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
But one thing I know about Bishop David Oyedepo is that he's sincere in his relationship with people.
Yes.
And not only that, he's a general. He's a general to the core. I give you an instance. When the Faith Academy was to be constructed, you know, the construction has started. And he kept saying, by so time, it will be dedicated. I was with him at the construction site. And he was still telling me, Apostle Joe, this thing will be done. This will be done. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, sir, you are using general's feet. I'm using captain's feet. This is not going to happen. I told him.
You told him.
Oh, point blank. He said, we will see. And it came to pass. So I have such a relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. He trains us.
Yeah.
He trains us, you know, to stand on our own.
True.
That's Bishop for you. If you say God called you,
yes, prove it.
Prove it. Let God and you prove it.
Exactly. Prove it.
You know,
go and prove your calling.
God, prove your calling. That's bishop for you. Go and prove your calling. And I have so many countless things to say about him, what he's done, what he's taught me personally, and all that. I remember him saying to me one day, "Say, Apostle Joe, say, sir, don't mind association. Mind your work. When you mind your work, association will mind you."
Hey!
So I took it to heart.
Don't mind association.
Don't mind association.
Mind your work.
Mind your work. So even as a youth minister, Dr. Steve, you know that you've been to our site. I resume in the office, face my work squarely. I'm not into any association that would disturb the work because my father says so.
Yes.
And I saw it as an instruction, not just an advice. I saw it as an instruction.
Wow.
And that thing came to pass when some of the pastors, you know, within our axis came around. No notice, like this one. Shey, you invited me now. I didn't invite them.
Yes.
There was no prior notice. They just showed up. And they told my people in the office, say, tell the senior pastor, tell Pastor Joe, we want to see him. Say, are you on appointment? Say, no, we are ministers like him. He said, he's studying or praying. We can't disturb him. He said, no. What kind of thing? Just tell him we are pastors like him. None of the stewards or none of the staff came to tell me anything. I say, if you had come, you would have been sacked. Because everything should be done orderly.
Yes.
That's one thing I have to tell you about Bishop Edeko.
Yeah.
Order.
Yes, he's an orderly man.
Orderly man, structure.
Very order.
You know, I'm happy to have him in my life. I'm always grateful. People can say all the things they want to say, whatever they want to say. It's their business. You know, life is a choice.
True.
Nobody forced me to follow him. He didn't force me to follow him.
True.
It's my decision. I know what I have benefited, what I'm still benefiting.
True.
On two occasions, he has brought me out in Canaan land, put his hand on my neck, on my shoulders. Say, my son, I'm proud of what you are doing. He said, the God that is in Canaan land is the same God that is at work in YDI. How much will you pay for that public endorsement? You are laughing. How much will you pay?
Yeah.
You know?
It's public, priceless.
Priceless. You know? When we turned 25, he was there. You know, when we got the 100 acres of land,
yes,
he was there. I took him there, you know. That's by the distance. He went to pray, you know. Yeah. That's father-son relationship.
Yes, yes. You know? So, I mean, let's get back to the interview. Why you...
Are we not doing...
yes, it is. But let's get back to you in person.
Okay.
Else we turn this to Bishop Oedipo podcast.
Okay. It's true now. It's my father. We can talk. Maybe you have to come up with something like that so that those of us that have been with him for years.
I think so. We could have a Bishop Oedipo series. Of the podcast.
Yes. His sons and daughters, people who have had a relationship with him, you know. You know, somebody doesn't have to pass before you celebrate him.
True.
Do you understand?
True.
Celebrate the person when he's there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you'll be glad to know we're naming a street in one of our estates after him.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, and he has accepted.
Of course. You're a true son now.
And he said to me, he typically does it, but this one, you accept.
You know, it's his son now. It's his son now.
I'm realizing gradually as God is lifting me that it's almost as if there's a plot in Africa to pull down people who are making impact. to tarnish their image, to rubbish their image, to leave the 99% good and then focus on the 1% that sounds like is bad. And it's not necessarily that it's bad. It's just your own perception of that 1%. And then you rub it. And I think there has to be an intentional movement to begin to say, no, you can't keep pulling
people down.
You know, but people are making impact. You can't keep doing it.
So, you see, the truth is that Africa has problems. Nigeria has problems. Africa, black people, we have problems.
Yes.
If we see an African person that is doing well,
yes,
we question it.
True.
Can it be true?
That's true.
Can it be true?
It must have been.
Are you sure this person is not doing this? Yes. This person is not doing that? You know, people start questioning. That's it. You know, my son, Gaze Baba.
Yes.
You know, when he came up with No Turning Back, that is trending today. Yes. Within 2 months, the guy has gotten over 22 million views.
Wow.
22. Wow. Only on YouTube.
Wow.
Now, I had to do an interview.
I would like to have him on this show.
Oh, please. I'll tell him. He's in Doha now, celebrating his birthday. I had to do interview. I told him, I said, look, people say all manner of things, but I know you.
Yeah.
There's a young man at the age of 15, 16. He gave his life to Christ in YD at the age of 15.
Oh,
yes. That's why he proudly calls me his foundational pastor.
Yeah.
You know, the first place he ever sang was at Camp Joseph.
Wow.
Just like 1998, the first time Dibanj ever sang was 1998 at the youth convention that I organized in Winners. I was the one that gave Dibanj. He was not Dibanj that time. So before you say, Coco Master, you gave Coco Master. I gave him the opportunity, the platform to use his mouth organ to sing. You understand? So people don't know people's foundation.
Yes.
How they are faring, how they are coming from.
Yes.
And they just blast. In Christianity today or in Christendom today, there are some people that have received the ministry of criticism.
And they call that ministry.
Of course, it is a ministry. They don't see anything good about any other person. They are the only righteous ones. And they are the only ones that will make heaven. As if they are God. This guy called Gaze Baba, he married as a virgin. He entered into covenant of purity that I started in 1998. Started preaching the covenant of purity that young people must preserve themselves for their future spouses.
Wow.
Their body unto the Lord.
Wow.
He entered into it. Many of them, of my sons and daughters, he married as a virgin. The wife also married as a virgin. Most of the people criticizing him today, how many of them married as virgins? How many of them are able to zip up their, How many of them? I mean, they should not allow us to talk. The body of Christ, we should just try. If we want to correct ourselves, let's do it. Let us not take it to social media.
True.
You know, and some of them are doing this thing just to attract.
Yes,
you know, just if it is trend. If it's not controversial, it's not good.
Yes.
As I stay and I know what I can say now, the next moment I'll give 100 million views. No, that's true.
Very true.
If I come and say, you know, Bishop David Oyedepo, is this, is that.
Yes.
Say, somebody that knew Bishop Oyedepo, see what he's saying, no, everybody will be.
Yeah.
But of what use now?
Yes.
I tell you.
Why is youth ministry? Because from what you are telling me now, it sounds like since 1987 to about 1998 or so, right? In Winners Chapel alone, you have focused on that youth ministry.
Yeah.
you know, and of course, or till today, of course, with the YDI, Camp Joseph and all the, why youth? Why?
I'll start from the beginning. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 17.
Wow.
And I can tell you, Dr.
How old
Steve,
now?
I'm going to be 64 this year. Wow. And I can tell you, Dr. Steve, that Jesus is my everything. Wow. We're three friends going out together, those days when we're growing up. While I gave my life to Christ, the two of them were not serious about Christ.
Mm.
One of them is late now. The other one is still alive, but is still on drugs.
Jesus.
So yes. You see, asking anything for the boys.
Oh.
I do believe absolutely that if a young person is captured for Christ, the destiny of that person
is bright.
Is bright and guaranteed.
Wow.
Bishop David Oedipo gave his life to Christ at the age of 15.
Yes.
See what God has done and is still doing in his life.
Yes.
I gave my life to Christ at the age of 17 and see what God is doing in my life.
Yes. I did at the age of 13.
Oh, can you imagine that? can you imagine that? So it is profitable.
Yes, it is.
For the society, for the church, for the families.
Yes.
For the children, young people, boys and girls to have encounters with God. And if we don't train our children in the way of the Lord, we will miss them completely.
Mm.
The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Not the way he wants to go.
Mm.
You can't train up a child in the way the child wants to go. You train the child up in the way he should go. It should go.
Powerful.
You are the one to determine that. As a guardian, as a parent, you are the one to determine, this is where I want my son to go. This is where I want my daughter to go. Give the training. You're not forcing it, particularly when you begin to live a life of example. You are an exemplary person. You know, people, they see how you are living and they will follow suit. They will follow suit.
That's powerful.
So I'm passionate. Any day, any time, I'm passionate about youth work. Yeah, I'm passionate. Particularly when I now see how they are faring and how they are turning out.
Yes.
You know, architect Gbenga Lalade, who designed the ARC.
ARC,
it's one of my products in YDI.
Wow.
He's a member of YDI Board of Trustees.
Wow.
Oh, yes. As a little kid, in Command Secondary School, picked him up. His wife, Veronica, also in YDI. Two of them met in YDI. What are we saying, Doctor?
Wow.
God has privileged me
to
impact young people's lives.
Yes. This generation, you know, Gen Z's.
They always ask me that question.
Gen Z. You know.
Gen Z.
And I mean, you've seen it all. You've seen the millennials.
Yes.
You know, you've mentored the various.
Yeah.
I think they say a generation every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, mentored almost like.
By January next year, 30th January 2026, YDI will be exactly 30 years.
Exactly.
That is full time.
Yes.
So forgetting the ones that are
exactly.
Before,
so you've done three generations now in YDI, and you definitely have done like two generation, you know, in Winners, while you were there. And the question then is, how do we connect with that? Because I know you have the secret recipe. Because you've mastered how to connect with different generations.
Yeah. The secret for me is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and then the instrumentality of love.
Wow.
I love my youths with great passion.
Wow.
I am there for them and they know that Pastor Joe is there, a listening ear. And that whatever they tell me, I won't tell their parents.
Wow.
Such a confidentiality. I've never seen it. Oh, yes, I'm telling you. A girl or girls have told me how they have been molested by their parents, by their fathers. And I know some of their fathers. And because it's confidentially released to me.
Yes.
I kept it to myself. My wife is not even aware to be able to give them the benefit of the doubt that I'm there for you so I can help them. Young people are suffering. They're passing through lots. Dr. Steve Akintyre, if you have 10 girls, I give you a guarantee that 8 of them have been molested.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, that is the truth.
Jesus. Jesus.
It's the truth. Nothing but the truth. If you read my novel or novels, most of them I try to relay, you know, without mentioning names, you know, the issues that they pass through and all that, and try to proffer solutions. So engaging them, you require the Holy Spirit to direct you so that you can ask some questions that will make them talk. A girl has been going through stuff, molested by the cousins, and from there she just bolted out that she would do anything with her life. I asked her, how many people have you slept with? Say 54. And she was able to write their names
out. At what age?
No, I won't mention that because the person will pick it.
Mm.
But a teenager, she just got angry, frustrated, depressed, and said, I'm going full blast. There was one day I put my phone, the people should call anytime. I got so tired. My wife said, Shay, you are the one that said teenagers should call you. As soon as I finished counseling, another phone will ring again. I'll pick. My wife said, go downstairs because I have to sleep. You are the only one that God called. I beg, this thing is too much.
Yeah.
I had to switch the thing off because the calls were terrible. Pam, pam, pam. One mother called and said, I actually wanted to be sure if something like this can happen in Nigeria, that somebody will make out time to be answering young people's questions. It's very much engaging. The work is very engaging. Energy sapping.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there with them, loving them. You see, leadership. This is your leadership podcast. Yes. I don't know whether I should talk on leadership.
Please, by all means.
Leadership is about sacrifice.
Yes.
If you are a leader, and you are not willing to sacrifice for the people. Mm. You are a ruler.
Mm.
You are not a leader.
Mm.
The Jesus style of leadership is very profound.
It is.
It's all about
it is.
Sacrificing for the people, sacrificing for his disciples, for people, for his followers. Highly compassionate. You've been to our site.
Mm.
Do you know that when the construction of that place was going on, I never bothered about riding a car, unlike rich people, billionaires like you. Bruce, I'm telling you, one of the youths came one day and said, Pastor Joe, people that are not that endowed like you.
Driving cars.
Big cars, you know, 2 or 3 escorts.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my own. God gives me money to put it in the project. That's where it will go.
Yeah.
Nobody gave me money to buy a car, so I will not use it.
Yeah.
They were too so touched that my partners gathered themselves together. Let's buy this man a car. So they bought for me. So it's sacrifice. Imagine that our governors, our presidents, our leaders, permanent secretaries, ministers, everybody lives a life of sacrifice for the good of Nigerians.
Yes.
Nigeria would be a very good place.
Very true.
No, but everybody is me.
Yeah, what I can get for
myself. Yes, for myself. Leadership. God has given us the grace to raise young leaders. And I kept telling them, you are not leaders of the future. You are leaders of today. Don't wait till tomorrow before you start showing your leadership acumen, leadership qualities or values.
What do you think is missing in being able to produce great leader for Nigeria? Is it family that is missing it? Is it society?
Everything starts from the family. Family is the bedrock, the starting point, the foundation of every form of training.
Yeah.
The Bible says, if the foundation be faulty,
what can the righteous do?
What can the righteous do? Mm. Absolutely nothing. Many families are struggling. You know, there was one reel that you posted on your, was it Facebook or somewhere I saw it, of a particular child you picked on the street you trained.
Yes.
Many young folks are like that. The society, or it's a cultural thing anyway, they don't celebrate what is good. They celebrate what is bad.
Very true. That one didn't go viral.
That's it. Nigerians, Africans, they don't celebrate what is good.
Yeah.
They celebrate evil things, controversial stuff, abuse here and there. You know, will it not disturb you that being Niger or BB Niger, what do you call it now, my dear son?
Big brother.
Big brother or something. That we have leaders in Nigeria to the point that we have a Muslim ticket, Muslim president, Muslim vice president. You will say, no, this type of thing cannot happen. But that's what we have. If I were the president, I would stop that thing right away. Because they are polluting the minds of our young people.
Yeah.
I was preaching the other day. I said, when we were growing up, if you want to watch porn, X-rated movies, you have to go buy before you watch. But these days, you don't buy.
You don't buy. It's free.
You don't buy. It's free. Is in your phone, is in your tablet, is in your iPad, everywhere you turn to. That's the generation that we have found ourselves. To the point that some of these Gen Z kids come to church with their phones and guess what they are watching? Is porn.
In church.
In church. Oh, we have caught some of them.
In church.
So you have to now do a lot of reorientation. This thing. And I forgot to tell you, you have to do it in love.
Yeah.
Every correction that you want to give to these children, do it in love. The moment you hammer them, you try to do some certain things, you know, they will tell you they are not interested. And they will tell you point blank, whether you are a father or mother, whether you are a pastor or anything, they are not afraid anymore.
They are
not scared of anybody.
Yeah.
So they prefer dialogue. They prefer conversation. Let's sit down. Let's talk.
Let's negotiate.
That's it. Before you reach out to them, so you have to get prepared. Get prepared.
My next question will be the YDI. What do you see YDI even after you are long gone? Where do you see it?
One of my current novels. It's highly prophetic. You get to read it because to the glory of God, I'm dedicating 3 novels.
Wow.
When I turn 64 by October this year. One is ready. The second one is about 90-something% ready. The other one is about 70-something ready. It's highly prophetic. The title of the other one is that's already concluded is Mansion to Mission. It's a story of a young girl, Jessica Graham,
okay,
who had issues, you know, why she was growing up from a rich home, whose house, their father's house, got burnt. So tragic something, but from there she was able to capture her mission, vision for existence. She was able to move to Nigeria from the U.S., from California to Nigeria.
Nice.
And guess where she located? It was YDI.
Wow.
And the work that she came to do with other missionaries from the UK, from Australia, you know, it's highly prophetic.
Yes.
Now, why do I know it's highly prophetic? One pastor, Pastor Bayo of KICC, somewhere around our side, is a civil engineer overseeing our project at our land. Before he commenced that work, Bayo spent 3 days dry to pray before they started the work. And he was telling me the vision he had. So it was as if he had read my novel.
Wow.
So I came back home and I told my wife, I see this God, nothing is hidden from him. See what Engineer Bayo saw and see what I had written in the novel. Is that not prophetic?
Wow.
So I have absolute confidence in what God is doing, that in the next 40 years, if Jesus tarries to come, I have sons and daughters that will replicate this great work.
Wow.
One of my sons in London today, Shay Daniels, and the wife, they're doing what YDI is doing here, over there. They're doing that. They have camp meetings. While Shay Daniel has camp meeting for the boys, the wife has
camp meeting
for the girls. Impacting them.
Wow.
So outstanding, you know. So I always tell them, particularly our elite group in YDI, we call them the fellows, and then the associates. Whatever you have learned from us, go and impact other people, your own children and the children of your neighbors everywhere. I was in Canada, and that was the mandate I gave to my group over there in Canada. Some of their children are becoming big now, you know. So I'm a grandpa. I'm a grandpa. You know, you said earlier, Ronaldo, oh, you're the father of boys. Baba boys.
Baba of boys. Yeah. So
God is helping
God
us.
Is faithful.
He's faithful.
What is your advice to somebody watching this who has a mission, just like you had, no money, it's not even going to be profitable, and they are convinced God has asked them to do it. What's your advice to them?
My advice is that be sure that God is the one who gave you the vision, because without God, there's no sustainability of the vision.
True.
You can't even start it. The youth ministry is more capital intensive than church-based ministries. I can tell you why. Youths don't have to give you. You have to give.
True.
I went to a couple of secondary schools for our usual outreaches. And I went to this particular school. After I finished ministering to them, some of the youths just gathered around me and say, their parents had not sent money. It's a boarding school. And they needed money and I had to give them. You know, that's one of the reasons why people don't have vision for young people.
That's true.
Because money
is not profitable.
It's not profitable, you know. But when you know that God is not a respecter of souls,
yes,
the soul of the Father, the soul of the Son, the Bible says, belongs to God.
Yes.
You know, belongs to God. So, and the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the soul of the Son or the soul of the Father. Now, if we target, if the church targets the soul of the Father, the Father will not perish. But if the church refuses to target young people and they die in their sin, they will go to hell. Because God is not a respecter of souls.
True.
God did not save any single child during the flood of Noah. Oh, no. Oh, please, this one are children. They are children. They are young people. They don't know their left from their right. Keep them aside. God is not like that. God is a God of law.
Wow.
During the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, no single child was saved for being a child. For goodness sake, they all perished. The truth of the matter is that all the people that were saved, they were in the ark of Noah.
True.
So it's the same thing now.
True.
If the children, they are not in the ark of Jesus Christ, they will perish. They will perish.
True.
So we just have to be deliberate in reaching out to young people. Young people. Children, catch them young in primary school, in secondary school, you know, wherever. And most importantly, showing them good example. Because the challenge that I have with young people today is that they tell me to my face, Pastor Joe, you are saying we should embrace integrity, we should embrace honesty, but some of these, our leaders, some of these people, they are thieves, they are this, they are that, they are corrupt. So I always tell them, I say, the fact that your father did the wrong thing does not mean you should follow his example.
Very true.
So I'll use myself as a personal example. As I saw my father beating his three wives when I was growing up as a kid. I refused to follow his example. Mm. He did the wrong thing, but I can't follow. So if your fathers or leaders, they are thieves, they are evil, they are wicked, you can't follow them. Chart your own path.
Yeah.
Be known for good things. Have good name.
Mm. A good name is better than silver.
Oh, I tell you. I tell you.
It's better than silver and gold.
I tell you.
Wow. I mean, for people who want to join YDI or be part of YDI, how can they do that?
Yeah, they reach out to us. They reach out to us through you.
Just go to YDI.
Come to YDI and say, I want
or Google YDI.
Or Google anyone. Then you can reach out to us. Let me tell you, when the ministry of YDI started, a retired general brought his son to us and virtually dashed him to me.
Wow.
Oh, yes. He brought his son very early in the morning. He had heard about what great work YDI was doing. His boy was into drugs, and they brought him to the office. I spoke with him. I said, okay, the boy should. He said, don't we have a rehab center? I said, we don't have a rehab center. It's something that we can, you know, reach out to them if we are privileged to have that. But we can't. You should come from your house to the office. Afterwards, after we finish with him with the counseling, you go to your house. He said, I know this boy. He will disappear. I said, oh, there's nothing we can do. He will run away. Young man, fine, tall, handsome dude.
Wow.
I tell you. So why the father left with some folks, he dropped him with us. So I got interested. I said, come to my office. So he came and we started chatting. I said, do you know you are hurting yourself? He said, I know it. I said, but you can't continue like this. He said, I did this to punish my father.
Ah.
Hey, God. You did it? He said, yes. My father dumped my mother for a woman, another woman.
Oh.
And my father thought that I won't pay him back. So you see that? You see their reasoning? You see their reasoning? So that was why he decided to go into drugs. You know, to finish the father, to give the father a heartache. You know, so you can't see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, the mother, according to him, my mother suffered with my dad. You know, now that my father is a big person now, my mother is no more a good woman
to him.
So I decided that I will show him. My dear, if I have to tell you my experiences with youth, 2 hours, no good do also. But, you know, you said something just now that, oh, if somebody wants to be involved, it takes God to move people to be involved in ministries like YDI.
Wow.
Oh, yes. I give you a typical example of a man, Ibilonia. He was in our meeting we had at Ikeja Airport. He was there. He heard everything that YDI was into. He said, oh, you people are doing a great work. You people are doing a great work. And the next moment, he made a promise. He said, look, I will make sure I build a youth center in my village in the east. I will call YDI to come and reach out to some of these young folks that are into kidnapping, to all manner of vices, because he couldn't travel to his village. I said, why not? Do it. We will go there and train your young people. Did he do anything? Because it's not profitable. Yes, to them, it's not profitable. Let me tell you, this one will shock you. Oyinlola's wife, we had a program at Airport Hotel. Oyinlola's wife and the local government chairman's wife, they were there in that function. They heard about the work. Oyinlola's wife promised YDI some money on behalf of Lagos State government. Up till now, they have not given us the money. So our funding is not from man.
Mm.
Our funding is from Jehovah God.
Yes. Yes.
So we look up. As a billionaire, have I ever asked you for money?
No.
You know why? Should I tell you?
Why?
I cannot ask you. If God leads you today to give $1 billion to YDI, to give 100 million, to do anything, you will not sleep until you do it.
True.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've experienced that over and over. Over and over. Over and over. I give you a typical example. There was this woman, she happens to be one of our partners. She used to give to YDI 20,000, 50,000. The highest she has ever given was 100,000 naira. But this day we're praying, and I told God, God, you know we are not into begging. Every person that you have ordained to add value to this work, that person should not sleep. If he sleeps, let that person dream about us and call us. Not after, maybe 1 or 2 weeks after that prayer, this woman called me and said, I should see her in her office in VI. So I said, I hope all is well. She said, yes, all is well. So I drove straight to her place in VI. Her secretary ushered me in. He said, please, Pastor, I'm sorry. I should have come by myself, or I should have sent my driver. But the way I saw it in my dream, that's what I want to do. In my dream, I saw you coming to my office and I'm giving a check of 1 million naira to YDI. And you were in my office and I presented it to you. So she opened her bag and brought an envelope. See, this is the 1 million.
Wow.
Dr. Steve, if I had told that woman that I had not given us 500,000 before, not even 200,000 before, give us 1 million, will she?
No.
You say, oh, these beggar ministries. We don't beg.
Yes, so.
You know, my father in the Lord, Bishop
David, we all learnt it from Papa.
I have never, never, I repeat, I have never asked Bishop David Oedipo for money.
Yeah.
He will lose respect for me.
True.
He will say, which kind? He will say, Apostle Joe, is that how you were trained? Look up to God. God will move men for you. And that's what he has been doing. So we don't beg. We don't beg at all.
It's a powerful rule. You know, we were speaking earlier before we started this show about one of my mentors in business, and people will say, oh, he had given me $20 million. Some say $100 million. You remember I was telling you?
Yes, yes.
And he was saying it, that one of the things I admired that he had made him to get to really like me was the total reverse.
Yes.
That he's richer than me, yet I keep giving him money.
Okay.
So, and I was taught, you know, by Papa, that even as a businessman, I don't beg.
No.
I don't beg. You know.
It's not in our culture.
No, it's not.
As believers.
It's
if
not.
You see a Christian begging up and down, you go and check his Christianity or her Christianity. You know, it's not part of us.
It's not.
It's not part of us.
It's
you
know, not.
Use your, if you are looking for any from anything from man, go on your knees. Call on God.
Yes, sir.
God, the Bible says, the heart of the king
is in his hands.
In the hands of the Lord. Like rivers of water.
Yes.
He turneth it whithersoever he wants. Wherever he wants, he turns it. So if you pray, God can move even your enemy. Was it not God that used raven to feed Elijah? Exactly.
Very stingy bird.
Very stingy, very stingy. Selfish.
Stingy even to the children.
Oh. God use it. God use it. God can use even anybody, and even your enemies, to facilitate greatness for you.
Yeah. Pastor Mrs. did her 68th birthday.
Yeah.
Was it this year?
Yeah, this year.
How did you meet her?
Yeah, my wife, lovely. We're both in the University of Jos. I met her for the first time in 1982. We're both in the same fellowship. It's something so unique. She came out to sing when we're in the fellowship. She still sings up to now. So as she came out to the front to sing, while I was at the back of the auditorium, I had something inside me. And I wished that prayer, silent prayer that is not audible. I said to God in my heart, I wish this fine girl would be my future wife.
Yeah.
We're all in 100 level. 100 level. Can you imagine that? She was first year. I was in first year too. Now, after the fellowship, as we, at the fellowship was wrapping up, she introduced one guy, tall guy like that, John, from the US with Afro. And said, this is the first thing she was dating.
Hey.
I just say, my God. So I lost hope. Fast forward till 1986, our final year in the university. I went to see one of my friends, classmates in their dormitory, their hostel. And she was in the person's place, lying down on the lady's bed. So we're talking generally, oh, we're in final year now. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yes. So that sister now said to me, Brother June, you're not thinking of getting married, Abby? When you finish university and you become big, you won't know real love. Oh.
Yeah.
People will come to you because of what you have. I said, I try though. They always give me nail on the head. They have not, none of them agreed to me. So she now pointed her sister in Rita. He said, like this sister too. Their relationship, no, they work, this one, that one. I said, goodness me, I didn't show it. So that relationship didn't work. So when she left us, I told my classmate, that girl in our final year had interest.
Your 100 level.
Yeah, 100 level. I said, like how? He said, go now.
Don't worry.
That was how I pushed. And it's all history now.
Wow.
We courted from 1986 till 1990.
Wow.
And then 5th of May, 1990, we wedded at Unilag Chapel of Light.
In Lagos?
Yeah, yeah.
You had both moved from...
No, she is a Lagosian by training or by birth.
Okay.
You know, so...
But originally, where is she from?
She's from River State.
River State, okay.
She's from River State.
Wow. So you had to come to Lagos for the wedding.
Oh, yes.
But where did you now settle?
We settled in Lagos.
In Lagos. Mm? So you've been in Lagos since...
Since 1989.
So how did you, you connected in Kaduna to Bishop?
Mm-hmm.
Stayed in
Kaduna from 1987, 88, 89, and then moved to Lagos.
To Lagos, ahead of Papa.
Papa.
Waiting for Papa now. Papa
had not moved, but the church moved. Pastor Simeon Afolabi was our resident pastor then, was part of the people that they moved.
To Lagos.
To Lagos.
What year?
1989. So when Bishop came to see the work,
yes,
I was in church. So he went, took my hand to Simeon Afolabi.
Yes,
and said, this is one of our children's ministers from Kaduna.
Yes.
So that one I told Bishop, he has already identified with the church. So, okay.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so
sharing.
Much. It's a privilege.
It's been a beautiful time. Yes. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all you do. I've had a healthy respect for the work. And you may not have known this. I've run a foundation for 17 years. And it's with orphans.
Stop, let me tell him.
Yes.
Your name is in the novel.
Yes.
Dr. Stephen Akintoya Foundation.
Yes.
In the novel that I've written.
Wow.
You, I say I won't tell you except there's something that connects it.
Yes.
You know, I know the great work that you have done over the years.
Yes.
Over the years. I told you the other time, my son in the Lord in Canada.
Yes.
Daily. Both of you were in school together at Agoe.
Yeah.
He was telling me, he said, that's your friend, eh? When we were in school, everybody knew that he was going somewhere because he likes selling guguru and all. The guguru.
Popcorn.
See, he was doing all those things.
Yeah.
I said, you see, you know, you have been eminently consistent.
Yes.
You know, consistent in the assignment, you know. It's anybody that is envying you or saying bad things about you is that person's opinion. Your real you is there.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm happy for you.
Thank God. Thank God.
If we look at the leadership style of Jesus Christ, we will have less issues in the church.
Mm.
Many of us, like I said earlier on, many of us have the ministry of criticism.
Yes.
And the more you criticize other people, the more outsiders will cheer you up. So, wow, yes, that
they
is
continue.
It.
Keep it
if
up.
If you keep quiet and do your own thing, as far as I'm concerned, my business is with my young people and my God. I'm not looking for ovation from anywhere.
Yes.
No! Because when the chips are down, when we all appear before God, it's not the number of 100 million views that you have that matters. What matters is what I gave you to do.
Mm.
Were you faithful?
Yes.
That's it.
Fulfill your assignment.
Mm. That's it. There's no way we can stop them. Because when somebody says he has ministry, you can't stop somebody who has ministry. His ministry is criticism. Let me tell you, you know, to the glory of God, I've authored over 30-something titles.
Wow.
But the first time I tried to write, 1988, for children, and I gave the manuscript to one of sisters, you know, had masters, doing well, highly cerebral. When I gave her the manuscript to work on, my beloved, red biro, 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 red biro. He said, no, you can't publish this. No, 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 this one, go and work on it. I was disturbed, though. I was disappointed. I said to myself, what have I entered now? Something that I thought I labored. But I convinced myself I would still go ahead and publish. I'll still go ahead and publish. So I went ahead, published, made some corrections, but yeah. I didn't go back to her to say review it again. Why am I saying this? When we're in the university, there are people who have special training for criticism.
True. And they don't go far.
That's their training. Their own is that all these academic journals, academic write-ups, their own, after you have finished, you have published your own, they will now sit down. They'll do a serious critique. Say, no, shouldn't have used this one. And those ones, they don't produce anything.
Mm-hmm.
They are not authors. They are not writers.
Nothing.
Their own is to criticize other people's materials.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know how to stop them apart from praying for them. Do you understand? Except we pray for them. That God will show them that, look, is it the ministry that I have given to you to be criticizing other brethren?
Yeah.
You know? No.
I also feel that there's an element of monetization, because this is not even just a ministry, right? You see somebody spend years to build a real estate company, for example, and then one person who has not built one company, he's not even bought 1 acre of land, will come and start tearing that real estate company. And then people will now be placing the two of you side by side. Somebody with zero result versus you that spent years. And it's unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
We're in a generation where you can even try to compare somebody with great work with a nobody whose only work has been to just come out on social media to criticize. So it's a generational
challenge
and it's in almost all sector. You are having people do that. I agree with you that, like in the case of the Ebuka song, I wanted to write about it, but I just felt, you know, some people will just say maybe I'm myself, I'm being too critical.
No, the thing is that sorry to cut you short, Dr. Akintoyle, the place of mentoring or mentorship cannot be overemphasized. Gaze Baba, my son, I've been mentoring him for years.
Yes.
I call him every now and then to pray for him. To pray for him. You want to do something? Say, no, you cannot. My son in America is called Isaac Gerald. He came to, he's also a musician.
Okay.
He came to Nigeria and he was wearing torn jeans, and we have in our ministry, we don't subscribe to it because you are not crazy. So why will you wear crazy jeans? If somebody looks at you now and say you are crazy, say, why are you insulting me? But you're wearing crazy stuff. So while I was interviewing him, you know, with his crazy jeans, I said, Isaac, you cannot keep on wearing these crazy jeans. Is it because you're a musician? It was in the studio that he promised me that he was no more going to be wearing torn jeans anymore.
Yeah.
I said, it's good. As his mentor, his father in the Lord, his pastor, he was able to listen to me. So before you write something about the Ebuka, first of all, ask, who is his mentor? Do you understand? If he has a mentor, before doing some certain things, he will be able to find out, oh, this thing I want to do, is it okay? Is it okay? That kind of thing.
I mean, for me, my own argument was even the fact that, and I, it was also the fact that I feel that the pastor involved was overbearing. There was no basis for that criticism, to be honest. Okay. Right?
His pastor?
He's not his pastor. He's not his mentor. And he just went on social media ranting. I mean, he's just like yourself. Now, let's assume, let's pick any whatever secular artist, I won't give the name. And then we see the person with you, right? And the person is joining you to praise the Lord. And then we say, can you imagine Pastor Joe with this secular person? I mean, what do we know whether you've led him to Christ? What do we know whether you are preaching Jesus to the person? Because that's the similar thing that happened with Abu Kasson. Yeah, there's a TikToker. Mm. We don't know his story, whether he's a Christian or not. Mm. You know, he's Christian.
Okay.
And then was on Ebuka's song, just like we are.
Okay.
And was singing his Christian song.
Okay.
And a pastor went ranting on the guy. That why will you have,
I told you that some people have the ministry of criticism. That's their ministry. There's nothing anybody can do about it.
Mm.
There's nothing anybody can do about my work with young people.
Mm.
That's my ministry.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes. So if you have a ministry of criticism.
Oh, yes. My own father, late father, criticized me for working with young people. He said I was jobless. There are so many people now that looked down on me.
Yeah.
Oh, do go and do something useful for yourself. Like gathering teenagers together. But the teenagers that I was gathering yesterday, they are now big people.
Oh,
big people now. Big people now. That's life for you.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for this time. And I really enjoyed it. And I hope you guys at home watching this enjoy it, or wherever you're watching from. And please feel free to follow YDI and the great work that they're doing. And Cam Joseph's and from parents here. I think YDI is something you want to push your children to be part of.
They will never regret it.
Yes, they will not regret it. There's Cam Joseph every year, so you can figure out.
We have other programs for them too.
Yeah.
We have Bible and Leadership course coming up from the 11th to the 24th of this
August.
Oh, good. It's an annual thing.
Good.
We usually have boys camp meeting. We have girls camp meeting. We also have ministers' children's camping.
Nice.
Yes. One of my bishop friends sent the kids all the way from Port Harcourt to come to Lagos for that training.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And they never regretted it.
Beautiful.
Because the truth of the matter is that there are some things that parents find it difficult to locate with their children.
True.
But with us, because of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit that is at work through us, we'll be able to identify some certain things and be able to help them.
Mm.
Be able to help them.
Powerful. Mm. Powerful.
It's been so wonderful.
We thank God. Well, that's the end of this beautiful episode.
Before you end, can I pray for people?
Please, by all means, please pray.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for this program.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, faithful Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your son.
Thank you.
Dr. Steve.
Thank you.
And his team. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for everything that they are doing. Thank you. Thank you. We return all the glory to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord and our God, for the viewers, parents, guardians, I pray, O God, that their children will not stress them.
Amen.
That you may give them wisdom.
Amen.
To be able to train their children in the way they should go.
Amen.
Your word says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it.
Yes.
Give them the wisdom for training.
Amen.
Of their children.
Amen.
And I pray that their children will not stress them in any way. That their children will
turn out to be better than them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And for young folks that are watching, I release the blessing of God upon you.
Amen.
May it be well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You shall not be negatively influenced by your peers.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Amen. Christ. Every Amen. Hand of the devil, yes. every arrow of the devil shot yes. in your direction, yes. I say back to the sender.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You shall truly be a Joseph in your generation.
Amen.
You shall truly be a Daniel in your generation.
Amen.
You shall truly be an Esther in your generation.
Amen.
You shall be a Mary in your generation.
Amen.
You will stand out for God.
Amen.
You will stand out for God.
Amen.
You will stand out for God.
Amen.
In your generation, people will know you as a child of God.
Amen.
In the precious name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Any of you passing through whatever issues now, I pray for deliverance.
Amen.
Be delivered from every habit.
Amen.
Be delivered from every habit.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. May the Lord give unto you wisdom, wisdom
Amen.
To navigate
Amen.
Life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You shall not be foolish.
Amen.
You shall not be stupid.
Amen.
You shall not be foolish.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, faithful Father,
you,
for hearing our prayers.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Sarah.
So if you want to know more about me, about YDI, just follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, on TikTok. Are you surprised that I'm on TikTok?
No. I'm not. I said you have a bad on boys.
Oh my God.
So surprised.
Yes.
That
yes.
you are social media compliant.
No, I have to be for
yes.
them, for them.
Yes.
You know, if you dress anyhow and come and pose anyhow, I will attack you. You're laughing. One of my daughters in the Lord abroad.
Yes.
Woke up one morning. That's
yeah.
one of the Gen Z's. Woke up in the morning. I had not brushed her teeth. And she was just wearing no brown. She was just dancing like this. Dancing like this. Dancing, 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 dancing. I said, oh my goodness. So when I saw it, I quickly called her on the phone. I said, is that what you were taught while you were in Nigeria? What's your problem? He said, I just woke up and I felt like just dancing and just dance. I said, and you came to TikTok to post it? He said, yes. I said, go and remove it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And she went and removed it. Her pastor, her mentor has spoken to her.
Yes, yes.
So all those people, you know, that are everywhere doing the work of criticism, do it personally.
Yes,
reach out
yes,
to them personally.
Yes.
yes. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
I'm grateful for
thank
this.
Thank you, sir, for coming. Mm. Well, see you next episode. Bye-bye, everyone.